Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
We are back. Welcome to the Islanders Point Blank Podcast. Brian Compton and Mike Carver here with you in Midtown Manhattan. We're going to be joined by Howie Rose in just a few minutes. One quick programming note, folks, if you're a fan of the Mets, Jets, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, or Islanders, and you want to listen to all of our original podcasts all in one place, just subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on the iPhone podcast app or whatever app you listen to your podcast. However, if you want to listen to just this podcast week by week, search SNY.TV Hockey, hit subscribe, and you'll be all set. And of course, as always, make sure to rate and review our channel. Michael, I missed you, buddy. How are you?
I missed you too, pal. What's going on? Good to be back.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
2 years?
2 years.
Feels like yesterday, doesn't it?
It sure does.
That was a great party.
That was some.
How many people were there? 900?
I think we had just a shade under 350. I don't know, something like that.
How was your summer?
It was good, buddy.
Yeah?
Doing real well.
Too fast, right?
I don't mind the summer being over. It doesn't matter to me. I like the fall better anyway.
Hockey is upon us.
That's right.
Where do you want to start?
There's so many things we could talk about.
Seriously.
You know, honestly.
Jeez, oh, Lou.
How about the goaltending? Since we got a couple of Islander goaltenders are playing right now. Well, really only one. One's sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
But we've got a couple Islander goaltenders in play. And here we go again. You know, the Islanders, don't get rid of Halak.
Right.
He's the starter.
You know what? If they want to keep Yarrow, it's fine. Seriously, it's fine. But then Berube's got to go. They can't have three goaltenders.
A couple guys, in fun after the game Saturday night, after the Yarrow shutout of the USA, who looked so good in Toronto in the World
good
Cup.
God.
After the Yarrow shutout, I kind of put out there, hey, keep doing this. It ups the trade value. Got to get him out of here. I immediately got attacked by a few people. why do you want to get rid of Yarrow? But Yarrow doesn't want the three goaltenders. He cried about it at the end of last year.
Said it publicly.
He gets hurt more often than other guys.
Right.
If he has trade value, you have Greiss, who just won your first playoff series in 1,000 years. The organization loves Berube. They keep in three goalies, Brian. Are they going to do this again? They're not, right?
I don't know. They love Berube. They're not trading Greiss.
They're not trading Greiss.
So it's going to boil down to, does a goalie somewhere else get hurt in this World Cup and Yarrow has a place to Garth finds a home for Yarrow?
Right.
Or do they try to slip Berube through waivers so he can play in Bridgeport? But they cannot go through the course of the season with three goals. There's only two nets.
I don't think Berube would slip through waivers.
Telling
me one of the other 29 teams wouldn't pick him up?
Yeah, Dallas maybe because
the couple times he played last year, he played well.
Yeah.
You think he's slipping through waivers?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, how
somebody's
do you put Greiss back on the bench after the postseason?
Somebody's got to go. Greiss should be in the net opening night. He earned it. After the way he played down the stretch and in the playoffs, he earned that spot. I'm sorry, Yarrow. It's just the way that it goes.
Yeah.
Greiss deserves it.
It's very tough to tell Thomas Greiss that he's not going to play after the season. From the beginning. I mean, the playoffs were just the icing on the cake.
And let's say even you do get rid of Berube and you're keeping the two of them. You don't think Yarrow will bellyache then?
No.
Because he's got a completely split time with Greiss.
He definitely will.
And Greiss going to, let's say Greiss plays the first night. You don't think that Halak likes the bellyache, folks. He does. You saw it at the end of last year. I didn't like the three-goalie system. He'll bellyache again if Greiss plays open at night. He, unfortunately, if it was me, Bri, I'd keep all three goalies all year.
Berube's got to play.
You'd love to have three guys. You always want to have depth. It's a great and novel idea.
That's what I mean. If Berube makes it to Bridgeport, you still have three goalies. The third one's actually playing.
Unfortunately, this is not the world we live in.
Right.
You have one guy who doesn't want three goalies. You have another guy who deserves to start. You have other things at hand. So as nice as it is to have three goalies, it ain't going to work.
No.
And somebody's got
to
go.
Yeah, they have to stop. They really have to figure out a way to resolve this. Do you think this team's better than it was last year going to the camp?
I think we came in here a couple times during July after free agency and we talked about this. I've gotten to sit and marinate with it now for about 6 to 7 weeks. And for me, Bri, it's still the same thing. I don't think that at this second, the team is better than the team that beat Florida in the first round last year. I don't.
It's better if, and Arthur brought this up with us before we bailed for the summer.
Big ifs.
Lee, Strome,
right.
Nelson, if those guys play to their capabilities, then the free agent pickups and losses aren't huge other than Franz. They are really I can't emphasize this
but
enough.
I feel like this
they're
is
gonna miss the heck out of Franz Nielsen, Mike.
Don't we say this at the beginning of every year? If this guy does
well,
this,
of course.
If this guy does that, I don't think those guys did it last year. They didn't.
Nelson had 26 goals. Lee came on too late, and then he got hurt, so that was kind of unfortunate. He could have played a big role in the playoffs for them.
The guy you're looking
Strome to... Strome can't get 28 points again.
No, I think he's the guy that really has to pick it up. I think Lee was coming on as before he got hurt at the end of the year. They missed him. They could have really used him. And Barzal's the guy for me. I think that Barzal's going to come into camp, and if he makes it happen,
it's huge.
He could be the guy.
It's huge if he makes the team.
But we need to see this before I say that they're better, because right now they're not. In my opinion, they're not, buddy. They're just not.
They're not if those guys don't step up.
If those guys play like they did last year, they're not.
Andrew Ladd is an upgrade over Kyle Okposo. You will never, ever change my mind on
that. Okay, but do you really think that the upgrade that Ladd is over Okposo outweighs the fact that Franz Nielsen has not been replaced?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
No, they're going to.
And you like Matty. Chimera is 1,000 years older than him.
He's 37.
Okay? He's older than him.
But it skates like he's 25.
Okay, I'm glad he skates like he's 25.
That's
but
huge.
When you're 37
difference.
Years old, you're right. more susceptible to injuries
yes.
than you are when Fair you're Matty's enough. Age. And let's see what happens there. I don't think that the pluses of Andrew Ladd outweigh the negatives of Franz Nielsen. They just don't, in my opinion, yet.
I would agree.
Unless you're going to guarantee me that Barzal's going to win Rookie of the Year, Strome's going to get more than 28 points, Brock Nelson plays with a little fire.
Yes.
And Anders Lee is out there putting pucks in the net all the time. You going to guarantee me three out of those four things, I think that they could be better.
We're going to get a full year out of Ryan Pulock, which is huge.
That's a big thing as
well. Should help special teams, right?
But the defense is the strength of this team.
If Johnny Boychuk reverts back to 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He was not good last year, Mike.
He was not good at all. I kind of cried about it a lot, especially in the playoffs. I said, where is this guy?
Right.
Because he was top pair, doing a great job against the Caps the year before in round one. And he was a little invisible to me last year in the playoffs. You didn't see a lot of Johnny Boychuk in my eyes. Hopefully a nice offseason of rest helps Johnny out. I don't know if you can play Johnny the minutes that they want to play him or that you should play a guy on a 7-year big money contract. But they've got enough guys that they can fill that void because Travis can still play those minutes.
Oh, for sure.
Nick Leddy can still play
and
those
Thomas
minutes.
And Thomas Hickey, does that carry over? Because he was phenomenal for them in the playoffs.
And the evolution of Ryan Pulock, what are we calling him this year? Whatever you want to do. Will he move into more of an area where he can play 20 to 25 minutes a night? So that might help Johnny a little bit, lessen the burden, and maybe keep him fresh throughout the year.
Before we get to Howie, we touched on Strome a little bit earlier here in the show. What is the holdup? He has no leverage with the contract. He has no leverage.
Actually, I saw this morning that he did show up at the informal skate.
Excellent.
He's out there skating with the guys.
Right.
It seems to me that he knows he's going to be part of this team. Didn't we see this with Brock last year?
We did.
We waited until
the 11th hour. Yeah.
Well, 11th hour. The other guys were on the rink, and then he signed, and he walked out there with them. I think that this is he knows the deal. He knows it's got to get done before camp starts.
Yeah.
I think that he'll be there. He has no leverage with the way he played last year.
If he had another
50-point
season, then he has a ton of leverage. Right. As a young kid, already has 100 points under his belt.
Maybe he wants
28
points. Listen, who knows? He's got no leverage. He's out there this morning with the team. It's not like he's staying away from the team. So clearly he knows it's going to happen. It's just got a pen to paper. That's pretty much what we're at.
Mike, we have Howie Rose on the phone. Howie, Brian Compton, how are you?
Good, Brian. How you doing?
We're doing all right. It was very important to Mike and I that we got you on the phone here for a few minutes. We wanted to pay tribute to one of the best voices around. When did you first realize that this was going to be the end of the road for you as the Islanders TV voice?
Well, I'd be lying if I said I hadn't been thinking about it for the last couple of years, basically. But, after the final game against the Panthers and Tavares winning it in overtime, I knew I was going to need a week or two to sort it out and confirm in my own mind that that was probably it. And, you know, if there was one iota of an opportunity left for me to say, maybe do it one more year, the way it ended with Tavares's goal, I couldn't have picked a better way to go out. So I think that probably was the last little push.
Howie, thanks as always for jumping on with us here. You've been a hockey fan forever. You love the game. You obviously did the Rangers on the radio before you came over to the Islanders. How hard is it going to be here not calling hockey for the first time in forever?
I can't even answer that yet because we haven't gotten to that point, and I've been so immersed in the day-to-day grind of the baseball season that I think when it ends is when I'll have a better feel for how many withdrawal pains I might have. But I'm sure once we're into late October, maybe mid-November, and it's just hockey, I'll watch a game on TV and think to myself, how in the heck did I ever do this? You know, how did I ever manage both seasons full time? So I'd be lying if I said I was not excited about having some downtime.
Yeah, your wife must be a saint, Howie, to deal with him not being around 12 months out of the year. It's crazy, right?
That and more.
Howie, I know you were in the Islanders press box back in the 70s. My dad has all the great stories that he shared with me. Did you ever think that one day you would replace Jakes McDonald in the Islanders booth?
You know, my dream was actually to precede him, really.
Yeah.
But again, that was as a first college student. And then at my infinitesimal broadcasting stage, where I thought that if an opening ever developed, that I'd be a good candidate for it. But, you know, in all seriousness, when Jiggs was hired, I didn't really have the credentials yet. But I did hope as far back as when your dad and I were making jokes the like of which you couldn't even repeat on a podcast, that someday something like that would evolve.
You know, Howie, obviously you were started with some lean times, no question about that, with the Islanders in terms of doing the games. And then you get the big payoff. The Tavares goal is your last game calling the Isles. How about any big moments in between? What was your favorite, you know, memories? Obviously a lot of down years, but there had to be some really big points between then and the Tavares goal.
Well, for me, the 0-1-2 season will always be my most memorable with the Islanders because that reinforced the viability of the Islanders on Long Island. And I know that there was so much concern that so many missteps had taken place, particularly on the ownership level leading up to that, that the Islanders as a brand were tarnished forever. And I knew that wasn't the case. They just needed a competitive team and one that would turn the fans back on. And that's what happened that year, the 0-1-0-2 season. The playoff series with Toronto was vicious. It was brutal. Yep. It was a bloodbath, and I loved every second of it. And the way the crowds came back really before the midpoint of that year reinforced that, you know, the Islanders' footing on Long Island would still be very strong, and unfortunately it did not last.
Howie, Mike and I had Dave Scatchard on probably about 6 months ago, and I brought up opening night of 2001, which was about a month after 9/11.
Yeah.
And it was just an unbelievable night, not just because of everything that transpired, but, you know, the 4-0 road trip, the building was packed, the American flag draped across the ice. Obviously, you had the Mike Piazza call 10 days after, which still gives me chills listening to it 15 years later.
Thank you.
What do you remember about opening night at the Coliseum that year?
Just how excited I was to be back in the building, because I think we all needed a fresh start with something after September 11th. And that's when I really zeroed in on the upcoming hockey season. So there was a lot of pent-up anticipation, coupled with the fact that the Islanders were putting a pretty good team on the ice. And they did get off to the great start on the road. And what turned me on immediately that opening night, as I recall, against Detroit, was, just as I described earlier, the simple reinforcement that this was no gimmick, it wasn't a one-off. The Islander franchise was made to be on Long Island, and that building was going to thrive again and sound as it did, you know, in the 1980s again. It was just a matter of putting a representative team out there. And I think we all felt going in with the significant moves that they made that summer that they had that kind of team. So it was just kind of this rush of positive energy and emotion to see it all come back and crystallize. And even though I think they lost that game in overtime, as I recall, it didn't dampen the enthusiasm. Frankly, it was quite the opposite. It just really encouraged even further the depths of optimism. And the depth, I suppose, not in a negative sense, but just how deep the optimism rang and largely would be rewarded that year.
You know, Howie, you talk about that building and the fan base and obviously a transition over the last year. There's no doubt about that. Has it been fair to this fan base over the summer to see all these stories about, oh, we're going to be putting a building here, we're already thinking about getting out of Brooklyn? And as a sidebar to that, did the move to Brooklyn kind of have a little to do with making it harder on you and factored into your decision?
Yeah, but, you know, you don't walk away from a dream job because it takes you a little longer to get to work, you know? It was a challenge for everyone, and it will continue to be as long as they're in Brooklyn, in my opinion, because it's not a perfect setup. But the Islanders aren't the only team that practice in one place and live in another area and then go all the way to a different locale to play their games. It's clearly imperfect, and you'd like to think that maybe there'd be some permanence elsewhere if that can be arranged. That, to me, is a long shot. I think they're in Brooklyn for the long haul, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And what really serves as the only or biggest regret, I would say, the biggest regret I have about walking away now is that they are in such good hands with John Ledecky and Scott Malkin. I've met John. I've spoken to him more than once. I don't know Scott. But they're the first owners in almost forever who did not buy the team with ulterior motive.
Yeah.
You know, they're not looking for a real estate deal to piggyback onto the hockey club. They want to own a hockey team and run it in a first-class manner, and I think the fans finally are rewarded with fully committed ownership and no strings attached. And I'm going to miss that, quite frankly.
Howie, I haven't had the chance to meet Brendan Burke yet. He sounds like a pro, just the YouTube clips that I've watched and heard. Have you had a chance to talk to him by any chance?
Oh, absolutely. Brendan's a guy whose progress I've followed for quite a while because his dad is a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
His dad, Don Burke, has been a New York area sports writer for many, many years. Right now he's with the Post. And so through Don, I've been aware of his ascent through the broadcasting community over a number of years now. And I have listened to him. I've offered whatever little advice might prove useful. But I think he was a finished product a couple of years ago. He, if anything, is overqualified for this job in terms of its timing. This is not a case of taking a chance on a young, unproven announcer. This is an example of a guy who's waited and paid his dues, and I think fans are going to absolutely love.
Howie, how about this team now going forward? They win a round, of course. You got to do more. It's been a long time since they've done that, and that's good. You lose a couple guys who have been here for a long time. You bring in Andrew Ladd and a few others. What do you think of this team right now? Same, better, or worse than the one that beat Florida in the first round?
I don't see it as being any better. I think the hardest part to replace is going to be Franz Nielsen, quite obviously.
No,
I don't think there's really any question about that. And, you know, you've got players who I think were, I won't say exposed because that's too negative a connotation, but to give you an example, you know, Johnny Boychuk played top pair minutes in Stanley Cup playoff series where he'd probably be better suited to play a little less, you know, given the grind of an 82-game season and the style he plays and, you know, his assets and liabilities. I think they still can use a little more depth on defense, and I'm not sure quite how you're going to replace everything that Franz Nielsen brought to the table. So I don't think they're any better right now on paper, but that's before, you know, any surprises come to the fore. You know, can Barzal make the team? I can't answer that yet, but I think he'd certainly be a candidate to make an impact. And there are others, obviously, that Garth Snow has brought through the system over the last year or two, but it remains to be seen what their impact can be.
Howie, what are you going to do with your time off here when winter
it's
comes around?
Del Boca Vista. there will be a golf club in my hand as many days of the winter as possible as I try to figure out how to transition from trying to put a ball through a windmill or into a clown's nose and actually play the adult version. And at my age, taking up golf is probably a thankless endeavor, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Howie, do we leave the door open for a couple of maybe, you know, popping opportunities with MSG? Will we maybe, if Brendan's getting a night off, although he shouldn't need one, it's his first year, but maybe if he's out or maybe with the Rangers, anything else, will we pop in on TV once in a while?
Well, I'm going to stay in shape, and I'm going to sit at the end of the bench and just kind of motion over, hey, if you need a pinch hitter, I'm here. It won't take me long to get loose, and I think I can still put the ball in play, and we'll go from there.
Howie, any message?
I got news for you, though.
What's that?
If the opportunity is to go to Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, Vancouver, I'll stay on the golf course.
Jiggs, go ahead, Jiggs. Have fun. You head on up, Jiggs.
Howie, any message you want to relay to the Islander fan base before we let you go?
My eternal thanks and gratefulness for what in the beginning seemed like was going to be a bit of a bumpy ride, and it was, because there are a lot of things at work there. But so many of them took me into their homes and in some cases even their hearts, and that seemed a little difficult to conceive in the very beginning. And from the correspondences that I've received since leaving, I can't even say the word retirement, because you do a full baseball schedule, you ain't retired,
right,
boys. But, you know, ever since making the decision, I've heard from so many who have said such unbelievably nice things that just reinforce that, as I said in a promo that we did for the old sports channel when I left to go to the Islanders, change is good. And I think this change will be good for Islander fans, because quite candidly, they'll get someone not only who's a terrific broadcaster, but he'll be a little more totally committed than I was over the last few years. I cut some corners along the way, eliminating morning skates and things like that, because there was no other way for me to continue if I didn't. That's the only reason I was able to do these last few years, is that, you know, I'd learned how to take shortcuts in my preparation, and without that, you know, I really couldn't have continued. So believe me, Madison Square Garden was just wonderful to me for over 30 years, and the fact that they allowed me to take a dozen games off every year was more valuable to my ability to do the job at hopefully a reasonably high level than anyone can ever imagine, because, you know, it is a grind to try to combine two sports full time. So, you know, to the extent that I was given that opportunity, I think the fans will really enjoy having someone who's going to be kind of a 24/7, 365 guy in a way that I couldn't be anymore.
Howie, today marks my 9th anniversary with the NHL, and when I got the job, I called my dad and I said, "You know, Dad, I'm working for the NHL now." And he said, "Yeah, I'm really proud of you, and I know you're going to do some stuff with the Islanders. And the only thing I can tell you is that you're going to love Howie." And boy, he wasn't kidding. Thank you so much for everything you did for me. I consider you a friend. You have earned this. There is no question about that.
I'm sorry, I missed that last part. I do consider you a friend, by the way.
Well, that's good to know. But anyway, you've earned this, and we all love you. And please don't be a stranger.
I won't, and I appreciate all the nice words and sentiments over the years. And just have a great season.
Yeah, we'll see you at the Mets parade, Hal.
Sounds good to me.
Unbelievable.
I'm there, boys.
Thanks, Howie.
Thank
all the
you,
best.
Howie.
Anytime. Good luck.
God, is he the best, right?
Yeah, Howie, gonna miss him.
I really am gonna miss him. He's such a great guy, and to work two jobs forever, Mike.
Yeah, it's a trying schedule that Howie's had over the last 20 years, obviously doing the Mets and the Islanders. Last year was a real busy year for him because both teams made the playoffs. So a little time at Del Boca Vista.
Good for Howie.
Down there and hit the sticks. Hopefully Howie improves that handicap. We'll see you next time, Howie.
He's earned it. And obviously, you know, before the Islander gig, he got to call the Rangers 94 Cup Championship, which they haven't won since, and I don't think they're going to win it this year either, Mike.
No, I'm with you 100% on that.
I'm not sure they're better. I mean, Jimmy VC might be okay.
Well,
the expectations for this guy are going to be ridiculous. He's going to get 30 points, Mike.
We haven't been around since that disaster over the month of August. Oh, I couldn't take it anymore with that kid. He's probably going to play in Hartford this year. Deal that they made over him.
He's going to play here.
The big deal that they made about him the whole month of August.
He's going to play here, but 30 points. That's my over-under. You can check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Lucchese, and Adam Rotter. We're going to talk with Billy Jaffe about the Rangers offseason. To find the show, search SMY.TV Rangers in iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, and make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the channel. Mike, Howie seems to think the Islanders are going to stay in Brooklyn long-term. A zillion stories again over the offseason about Belmont and Citi Field.
What
and
a
obviously
disgrace.
The fans were still clamoring for the Coliseum, which is not happening, folks. I mean, we've said that 11 billion times. I agree with Howie. I think they're in Brooklyn long-term.
It was, you know what? That was the worst part of the summer for me. We talked to the top, how was your summer? I couldn't stand those 4 or 5 mornings where I had to wake up with the Cheerios. I almost spit them out. Having to read these ridiculous, stupid stories about, oh, they're getting out of Brooklyn and now we're going to build an arena in Willets Point. Oh, they're getting out of Brooklyn and we're going to build an arena at Belmont Park. Oh, wait, there's still hope to go back to Nassau. Will you guys please stop what you are doing to the Islander fan who has been pushed and pulled and prodded for the last 20 years about where this team's going to play? Please stop toying with the Islander fans. They're not leaving Brooklyn. They are staying there. Stop screwing with them, please.
Mike, I had a fan on Twitter tell me they're going to Houston because Malkin's building a mall there. There is a better chance Islanders play 41 home games in my backyard than in Houston. It is, I mean, stop, folks, for God's sakes. Look, Brooklyn's making money off of this. If you read the paperwork, you can tell that Barclays made money. Maybe they renegotiate a little bit so Ledecky and Malkin bring in a little bit more cash their way. But this is where the Islanders are playing long-term, Mike.
Of course they are. And why they have to do this to the fans? That's the biggest thing for me. I ignore the stories, Bri, because I know they're not true.
Right.
They're not going to these places. There's no chance they're building a hockey arena at Belmont Park. There's zero. And if you think they're taking the scrap yards down in Willits Point to build something next to City Field, it's not
all the political red tape with the chop shops.
What
they're not going to
Willits
Point.
What bothers me, Bri, is there's people out there who live on Long Island who are diehard Islander fans. When they open their paper up and they see it, they believe it, and they think, so you're saying there's a chance. Stop doing it to these people. I beg you, Newsday, New York Post, all of you, stop doing it to the Islander fan. They don't deserve the heartache. Just, they're in Brooklyn. Let them get used to it. Let them enjoy it. Just stop with the moving. They're not leaving Brooklyn. Am I upset?
These poor
people.
It's
the first show of the year. Are you kidding me?
Welcome back, buddy.
Oh, my God. Oh, jeez.
Oh, these poor people.
I can't believe it.
Enough.
They're moving. They're not moving. Oh, my God. That goes along. Here's the other ones that got me this summer. And we'll get this will be done with Arena after this.
Yeah.
The people that said they've got to make improvements at the Barclays Center. What do you want them to do? Rip out all the seats and put them all back? They're not doing that. They can't rip out 15,000 seats and reconfigure them so that all you people could see the rink. It's not happening.
No, it's not.
You're going to have to live with it. Right. I'm sorry. It stinks,
maybe you can get rid of the car and put put seats on wheels so it doesn't look as crazy, but this is where they're playing. It's over.
The arena has been built.
Right.
There's no ripping the place
apart
and reconfiguring where all the seats are. It's
not
happening. Enjoy the game. Have a beer and a dog and watch the team. All right, Bri, where do you want to go next?
World Cup?
Let's do that real quick.
Before we go? Team USA stinks.
Now, you got to see some of these guys last week, of course. NHL
yeah,
sent
Washington.
You down to D.C. You got to see a few of
them. I saw Franz Nielsen.
Good job. How's Franzy doing?
He had a baby boy last month,
good for Franz.
He found a place in Detroit, so he's... His wife is moving this week or next week up to the Detroit area.
Okay.
So good for Franz.
Good for
Always Franzy. A great
gets
guy.
Gets to close out that great arena up there. The Joe Louis is the last year, right?
Yeah, it is.
Last year of the Joe, so good for Franz. He gets to be a part of it. I can't wait till they shut that place down.
Oh, come on.
And
God, what do you have against the Joe?
Oh, they're just
this is another that place that you hate, yet you've never been to.
Exactly. listen, here's the thing. The U.S., I saw a lot of it. I thought that Team Europe was getting a little, I'm going to say, not a lot of respect coming into this tournament. Nobody picked them. I looked at the Vegas lines on Friday night, actually.
Yeah.
They were the second-to-last choice to
team
win
Czech
the thing.
Republic was
They've
last,
got
right.
a lot of good NHL players
they do.
On that team.
Kopitar.
They've got two Islander goaltenders. They've got some good players. And, you know, I wasn't shocked that they went and beat USA 3-0.
No.
It wasn't shocking to me.
Watching Team USA last week, Mike, I mean... They're paying the price.
They're done
for not taking skill players in a skill tournament.
Yeah, they're finished. They'll lose to Canada in the second game, and unfortunately for ESPN, they set this thing up so that USA could play Canada in the final, and they're not going to get it. So
no way.
Enjoy that Canada Team North America final that you're going to get, because that's what you will get.
I mean, Phil Kessel obviously can't play because he's injured, but the fact that he was never named to this roster, especially after the playoffs that he had with the Penguins, really.
Hey,
Brandon Dubinsky?
Listen, where are you
Nick
going?
Letty's not on this
well,
team?
Well, unfortunately,
Jack
Brian,
Johnson?
They're also a little shorthanded because some of their best players are playing for Team North America. Because Eichel and
Matthews
should be on the USA
That
team.
Team is so much fun
it's
to watch.
It's great to watch. I hope, personally, that they win the whole thing. I'm rooting for USA first, but I don't see them getting out of it. Now, when they lose to Canada the second
Bye-bye.
Game, they're done.
Yep.
But Canada will be in the final. Russia ain't going to be there. People always sleep on Sweden and Finland, too. Always. Sweden will probably end up being in the final.
Sweden's good.
I like Sweden, Canada, and North America. One of those three will win.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Training camp, just a few days away.
Can't wait.
Storyline that you're looking at going into camp here?
I think we touched on one already today. We touched on both of them, really. The two things are, one, what are you doing with the three goalies?
Yeah.
You got to find something to do with one of them. And the second one is... Who is going to step up? And you got to keep your eye on Barzal.
I think
interested
Barzal's
in seeing Barzal. And third, Will Josh Hosang actually make it to day two of training camp this year because he was done after day one? I'd like to see the kid actually go out there for more than two days.
Like John Tavares said last year, set your alarms.
Yeah,
whether 9, 10, how many you need.
Set your alarms, buddy.
Get it done. Michael, it's great to be back, my
good
friend.
Good to be back. We didn't get too excited on day one.
Not at all. Thanks to all the fans for your patience. I got tweet upon tweet upon tweet. When are you guys getting back in the studio? We're back, and we're not going away anytime soon.
Absolutely.
So thank you for your loyalty. Thank you to Howie Rose. Welcome back. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.